from the bottom of our hearts for your faithfulness in prayer and support over the years. And we count it a privilege to count you folks as part of our team, to allow us the privilege of serving the Lord in Spain, to serving those precious saints, those precious people, saints as well as the unsaved there in Spain. And we're thankful that we could be here tonight. We are home on furlough. We got back in the States in June, and the first 2 months we spent up time in New York and Pennsylvania. But from August on, we've been down in the Greensboro area, and tonight it's our turn to be here with you folks tonight. Last 5 nights we've been in a missions conference in Kernersville, so we finished that up this morning, left, and we drove here. So we're thankful to be able to be with you tonight. Tonight, what I'm going to do, I want to take you with us. If we can get our, there we go. We're going to take you with us on our kind of like a trip, and I'm going to, in kind of a storybook form, present to you what we've done on our last term. And if I were to write a book, we always say, this is kind of how our book would go. And I would entitle the book, The Season of Change. You guys see that pretty good in the back here? Okay, now it brings you good. Okay. The main characters of our book, of course, Keith, my wife Jody, and we've got three kids. And one of the biggest changes that took place in our family's life is that our daughter Candace has graduated from high school. She just went off to college at Laterno University in Longview, Texas, 2 hours east of Dallas, and she is studying civil engineering. So as we travel around now, the big change is that she's no longer with her family. We have 2 boys. Cody is 16 and Cal is 14. Sorry they couldn't be here tonight. There had been a special youth activity at our home church. But they're the main characters of our story. The setting of our story originally took place in Torrejón de Ardoz. But since the last time we were here, they passed a law about 2 years ago saying you couldn't plant a church within a half of a kilometer of another church. If you know anything about Spain, every town you go in, right in the center, is a Catholic church. So it made it impossible to continue to work in that town. So about 2 years ago, we moved out to a new town. And we're targeting 3 specific areas. We moved out to a town called Villalbilla. Our teammates live in Campo Real. We live in Villalbilla, and we're targeting a new town called Torres de la Alameda. In this town, in these 3 areas, you'll see a picture here, we hope to see a new church plant. Where now we've been making contacts, building relationships with people, and Lord willing, when we go back, we hope to raise money to be able to rent a facility in this precious town. In this town, in these 3 areas, there's no gospel witness. Anything you'll find in this town is the Catholic Church. Originally, the sporting characters, originally we were Team Torrejón, but with the change, we're Team Torres. This is a quick picture of our teammates. Roy and Nancy Jones, Mary Davey, and my wife and I are kind of the babies of this group. Historical context, we've been ministering in the Baptist Church in Alameda de Osuna. And some of the things we've been doing this past term, we developed our youth program. There's very few youth at the church. We got a youth program up and going. We added a teen Sunday school class. You guys see some pictures of the teens here. And we also began doing monthly teen activities. We would go to a local park and just have some fun Bible studies with around God's Word, singing some songs in a game time. We also initiated quarterly youth rallies. I identified 5 churches in our target area as churches that don't have very many teens. One church may have 1 teen, another one 3 or 4. So it's very difficult for each church to do an activity. But if you pull 2 or 3 teens here, 4 or 5 here, maybe 3 or 4 here, and put them together, you can actually have a decent-sized group, and you can do a lot more things. So come up with the idea. Let's do this. We initiate our first activity. Without us having a facility in our target area, we really couldn't invite teens to go anywhere. So I rented a gym, and we did our first activity. We had 37 young people come out to our activity. We were thrilled. We had 5 unsaved teens from our target area. So we were really excited. We had a local policeman came there, and he gave his testimony and shared the gospel. It's probably the first time that many of those young people had ever heard the good news of from God's Word. So we're thankful for that. We have a second activity we did in a local park, and we can't wait to get back to be able to pick up this and continue these youth rallies. Historical context, I've been teaching the teen Sunday school class. My wife's been working with the 4 and 5 years olds. And some of the other things we've been doing English camps. we were able to get that up and going. Also, we've been, Wasan's been involved in the worship team, and I've been helping out in the sermon rotation. Other things we've been doing, as far as a Spain team as a whole, first week of August, every year they have what's called a family camp. And a bunch of churches will get together, and our main work there was working with the young people. Some of the things we've been doing the last couple years, we had some veteran missionaries, Rich and Cindy Brown, for various reasons had to come back on furlough. So we've been kind of filling in the gap from them. We've covered for them. We did they have the Sunday services in the evenings. Their prayer meetings are on Thursday nights. On Friday nights, they have a kids club. And we've been helping them out with that. Things we've been doing in our target area, last year for the first time, we actually were able to get into a public school. And I'm able to minister and meet a lot of new people. And be able to do our first English camp with that. And of course, if you meet a lot of young people, that goes with meeting moms and dads. We're really excited to be able to get into a public school. And one of the things about Spaniards, they think us Baptists are a cult. They look at us leery. So it's very hard to break that stereotype. But English allows us to be able to do that a little bit. So we've been able to do this. They're not interested in the gospel. One thing they like about us being Americans, that we speak English. The moms and dads want to learn it, but they really want their kids to learn it. So we're able to use that to build relationships with these precious people to be able to share the gospel with them. Other things we've been doing, we've been able to do baseball, help coach the last 7 years in this town that actually we moved to. And so we're excited about the relationships we've been able to build. We're actually now these very same people are our neighbors. So we're able to use that to be able to share the gospel with these people. Things we've been doing in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is a small neighborhood. 1 year I thought, let's do an alternative to Halloween. So without any publicity, without any fanfare, just word of mouth, we invited our young people, just from the ages of our kids at that time, it was 12 and 14, and let's see what happens. So we invited them out. We had about 25 young people came to this activity. So we're excited about the potential that is there to reach out to these precious people. And all those kids were unsaved except for our children. So we're really excited about where God has placed us. Other things we've been able to do the last 2 years in our town, there's a small park right by us. We were able to go into this, do an Easter egg hunt, and just have fun around playing games, hiding the eggs. And at the end, we always have the kids sit around in a circle, be able to share the gospel with them. And you always have moms and dads who don't go too far off. Once again, they're also under the sound of the gospel. So we're really excited about this opportunity that God has given us. Also, this past term, God gave us a Bible study. And if you know anything about Spain is very difficult, very slow to see results. So we're thankful for this precious family. See, lady on the left, Jomar, and the center is Giovanni. And Giovanni is an atheist. And he participated in his son's Giovanni Jr. They have another daughter. It's not pictured. Her name's Tatiana. And we were able to start a Bible study with this precious couple. And so I ask that you would pray. This couple is very receptive, very faithful, interested, asking good questions, giving good answers, but they're still unsaved. When we left, our teammates were finishing up the study. So please pray for this precious family that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe they're very close. Other things we've done in our target area, without a facility, we often feel handcuffed. You know, it's hard to do activities. It's hard to get them into your homes. And if you don't have a facility, it's hard to do activities such as a Valentine's Day banquet. So what we did, we thought, let's go to the local restaurants and see if we can rent a room to be able to do a Valentine's banquet. So we walked around our area, found one place that had a beautiful room in the back, and we asked them, what could we do? What would it cost for us to rent this facility? And they said, they won't rent it to us, but we can use it for free. So we thank the Lord for that. We would have this good group come out, over 20 adults, able to share the gospel with these precious people. So we're excited to be able to see glimpses of God giving us fruit and opportunities to share his precious word. Some of the challenges that we have faced as missionaries there, and these challenges haven't been changes but have remained constant, there's three big ones. The first one is our van. Our van, I always say, was made on the last day of the month, on a Friday. It's what you might call a demon van or a lemon, would be a better term. And this van has given us fits. But right before we went home on a furlough a month, we were praying, please last one more month to get back. So as we were going out for coffee, we went to a local coffee shop, put the key in the car, and went like this. Did you hear that sound? It's the exact sound that my precious van was making. So our teammates came, we jumped, put it in front of our house, and it sat there for the remaining time, the whole month. before we left, and then a week before we came back on furlough, our neighbor, who's a mechanic, came, jumped it, and we parked it, and it's sitting right now in our garage. But the good news of all this is that it's a big challenge, but God has already provided for a new vehicle for when we get back. We're excited about this. With our daughter being, will be here now in the States for college, we won't need such a big vehicle, so we'll be able to get a small car. We'll be able to save easily €700 a month in gas. We're excited about God's provision. But two other opportunities to participate in what God's doing. Right now, we lack about $1,400 a month of support, so we're trusting the Lord to provide that so we can get back in June. We've got a permanent residency now in Spain, so we're allowed to be gone for up to a year, but that'll be up in June, so I ask that you would pray that God would provide the remaining support so we can get back. We have 28 churches, one business, and about 17 individuals that are part of our support team. Within the last several weeks, God has given us a new church and three individuals. So we're thankful for God's provision, but we cover your prayers and ask that you would pray that God would continue to provide in that area. And also, as I kind of mentioned, we hope to rent a facility when we get back that we're calling our Strong Tower Project to be able to bring light, to bring hope, to bring a strong tower to this precious town without any gospel witness. Some of the blessings that we've seen this past term, we've been able to baptize both my son and daughter. And the same day my daughter was baptized, three other young people as well. In my Sunday school class, about 6 months early, we went through a series, salvation series, and three of those, Emily, Andre, and Lorena, trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they were also baptized. And also another fellow that I've been working with and helping coach in the Madrid All-Star baseball team, Elias Lugo, as well, he trusted in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Our vision, we've seen a lot of changes in lives, but one thing that has not changed, that has remained the same, is our desire to see souls saved, to reach out to the youth, and we're church planters, our desire to see a church started. So this brings us to our new, kind of one of our goals for this term, and this word simply means strong tower. We desire to rent a facility that will be a strong tower to bring hope to a place without darkness. If you've seen on the way in our display table in the back, you see that's kind of what those towers represent, is a strong tower. It's a strong tower, which is our vision for the future. It will be our youth and family center. Gives us a visible presence in this community, dark community, and gives us a strong tower to bring hope to these precious people. What could make this a reality? We set a goal to raise $30,000, and God's already brought in one-fifth of that. For 2 years, to be able to keep this facility open, these are kind of pictures. It's kind of, we always say it's a storefront facility. A lot of these places are just businesses. Our desire is to rent a facility that we would be maybe one-fifth, if not smaller, of this area, to rent a place to be able to do activities, youth activities, to be able to do our English camps, to be able to do Bible studies, to be able to do outreach activities, to hold our prayer meetings, hold our Sunday services in there, is what we're trusting the Lord to do. What will bring this vision to reality? Fervent prayer, fervent faith, and fervent partners. We can't do it alone, but we ask that you would pray. And a lot of things you guys are already doing with us, supporting us in prayer, partnering with us, specific ways you could help through teaching English as a second language, through camping ministries or short term. If anybody here has a heart to go overseas to minister, please feel free to talk to us. We'd love to have you, but we'd ask that you would pray that God would bring this about. Three areas to participate in what God's doing in Spain: our monthly support, thanking the Lord for the gift that he's provided, and what it would roughly cost to keep the Strong Tower Project open, roughly about $42 a day, $294 a week, and a little over $1,200 a month, all this, of course, depending on the exchange rate, to keep this facility open, this Strong Tower open. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and it's safe." Okay. Can we have the lights back on, please? As I said, in the back, as you come in, you will see our display table, and we encourage you. We have our prayer cards there. Please feel free and get a prayer card of ours. We also have magnets that represent our Strong Tower Project. Please feel free to get one of those and put in the refrigerator to remind you to pray for us. And also, my wife sends out monthly updates through email. So if you're not, if you, perhaps you've signed up for that the last time we were here and you're not getting that, please feel free to sign up. We've had some trouble in the past with some individuals not getting that. Please sign up again. Hopefully we've worked all the bugs of that out. But we want to keep you informed, because we know the better informed you are, the better you can pray for us. So please feel free to sign up for that, because we want to share with you what God is doing in Spain. When you guys think of missions, what do you guys think of? Perhaps you think of famous places. Maybe you think of places like Russia, China, Africa. Hopefully you think of Spain. When I think of missions, I often think of famous missionaries. Men like Hudson Taylor, Jim Elliot, David Livingston. But one of the most ones that often comes to my mind is a man named William Carey. Has anybody ever read anything about William Carey? Perhaps maybe a biography of William Carey? Okay, a few of you have. Okay. If you ever read anything about this man, you kind of understand the spiritual dimension of him. An incredible man. This man spent over 35 years as a missionary in India. And you know what I was surprised to find out about this man? You can count on one hand, after 35 long years, on one hand, the amount of men and women he led to the Lord. After 35 long years. You know what many of us would have said after 6 weeks, 6 months, saying, God, I don't see any results. This, you know, I've had enough. I'm going home. We would have packed it up and left. But not William Carey. He stuck with the task, and faithfully, after many years of ministry, you know what he accomplished? He closed out his life, and every missionary who's ever gone to India since owes their missionary work to William Carey. Because you know what he did? In 35 years, he translated all the dialects, translating the Word of God into the dialects of India. 35 long years. I'm thankful that William Carey knew something about patiently waiting upon the Lord. You know what? William Carey needed to learn how to patiently wait upon the Lord. A missionary in Spain, I need to know how to patiently wait upon the Lord. You know, I would imagine someone here tonight in Clayton, North Carolina, all of us here tonight, need to know how to patiently wait upon the Lord.